Today, I thought it would be good to follow on from responsibility with how responsibility, when it comes to dealing with, understanding, and processing our emotions, displays emotional intelligence or emotional reactions. And there is arguably nowhere more relevant for a personal trainer and client than in this respect, emotional eating. It's definitely a topic that comes up all the time when I work with people. That feeling of loss of control when it comes to food choices and how, before we know it, the food we said we didn't want isn't just in our trolleys or on our plate, it's in our stomachs. It's giving immediate pleasure but causing longer term problems. Stay tuned for episode.
Hi, I'm Paul Keenan, and you're about to start developing strength from the inside out with this podcast. I'm a personal trainer and mentor for trainers and coaches. With me, you won't get motivational fluff or hype. You will get a combination of brain science, real client case studies, transformational psychology, action steps, and some woo-woo wisdom, all rolled into one superset. If you're wanting more from your life, to feel better, look better, to heal, perhaps to have more and to be more, then this is the podcast for you. Because you're going to learn how to strengthen your mind and develop your awareness physically, mentally, and emotionally. All from the inside out. Welcome to the Mind Your Muscle Podcast.
So in the last episode on responsibility and self-integrity, I hope that I helped to explain the difference between responsibility and blame, between reacting and responding, and how reacting really gives away our power and how responding maintains our strength. The former is impulsive and the latter is measured. But what they both are is habit. We either get into the habit of responding or the habit of reacting. And by listening to the previous episodes, right, which I'm sure you've done, because you wouldn't want to buy a seat for the cinema and then walk in after the first 15 minutes and have no idea what the story is all about so far, am I right? Yes, Paul, I've listened. Okay, I'm just giving those a second who haven't listened to stop and go back. Yes, now that's you, if that's you. The rest of us, well, we're going to march on. And as we march on, I kind of want you to bite your tongue. Not literally, but figuratively. Because sometimes that's what not reacting is. It's not acting. And not acting might also mean not saying. Remaining silent. And look, I get it. That can be hard, especially if it's a really emotive issue. But I want you to pause there for a second and think about what I've just said. If it's an emotive issue, you know, those ones that you're probably really passionate about, that you really care about, have strong opinions about, then we want to speak, don't we? We want to tell people our opinions. We want to tell people what we think, because it's emotive. But when we speak from our emotions, it's not always the best place to speak from, especially in a situation where you're speaking from a defensive emotional standpoint. Emotions can cloud our judgment, all right, when we're defensive. We're acting on subconscious habitual programming from a belief system or viewpoint about what we see to be fact, and we are about to school someone else on why we are right. Aren't we? Why we are right and why they are wrong. Because that's what we do. We be right because we believe we are right. Like, take for example the no-carb diet, right? And I love hearing about this one because there are lots of compelling reasons why someone might enter into a contract with a no-carb diet. And that's kind of what it is, right? It's a contract. If you break the contract, then it's no longer a no-carb diet. Or another one, intermittent fasting. So basically choosing to eat your calories in a 12-hour window of your day. Pretty much holding off breakfast for a few hours. That's what that is. But saying you're on the I'm holding off breakfast for a few hours diet isn't as cool as being on the I am diet or in the I am club. And as I sit here and talk about those two eating options, you, if you have heard of them, used them, or are on one of them even right now, you will have started to form factual content in your head ready to rebuke my opinion. So you know what? I won't actually share my opinion on it. That might annoy you even more if I don't share it. Because it's just that, look, it's an opinion. Science, yes, science, or, you know, you could be science, I don't know. Science and you could maybe school me completely, and probably could, would, and will school me completely on those two subjects, on those two eating plans. And I wouldn't care. I wouldn't care because I'm not emotionally attached to either. I've done both at different times and for different reasons, and they both achieve the same goal, as has a lot of other ways of eating. Okay, there's more than one way to skin a cat. Don't worry, I'm actually not going to go into the calories in versus calories out speech right now, even though I know someone will benefit from it. But we don't want to go off on a tangent in these episodes just yet. Or you might think that I'm winging this and making it up as I go along, and I'm not. I actually have a plan that I follow, and a process, and like a system of thoughts. Okay, so that's what I'm going to get back to. And I want to get back to emotional intelligence, or being emotionally charged. One of the big topics that I know myself, and certainly a lot of other coaches will deal with a lot, is emotional eating. Now, our emotions or feelings are the only things that we can truly control, because we can't really control the thoughts that we have, and certainly not all of them. You know, we can only control the thoughts we choose to accept to become emotionally involved with. And what does that mean? That means what we internalize, okay? What we believe or we accept to be true about a certain thing. That's what happens whenever I talk about becoming emotionally involved. You see, thoughts come into your head every moment of the day, about 80,000 of them through the day. And for the most part, really all we are is just a receiving station for thoughts. That's what our mind is. It's a sending and a receiving station. So think of it a bit like a radio. And the cool thing, right, about a radio is that you can tune in, and you can tune the radio in to the stations that you want. Listen to the people that you want. Listen to what you want. Get into line with those radio waves of energy. Now, also like the radio, we're more likely to receive signals rather than send them out all the time. And we probably don't send out as many thoughts as we should. Instead, we internalize them. We bottle them up. We try and keep them in there, keep them hidden, keep them to ourselves. And we become emotionally involved with them. We take them to heart. And when we accept a thought as true or real in our experience, we attach one of our emotions to it. And whenever we look at all the different kinds of emotions, or the different names that we give to emotions, the emotions that we go through, excitement appears to be one of the main emotions that we have or use. And you can maybe hear excitement in my voice. And then that excitement can transcend into actually a host of other different emotions. Because excitement can cause anger. Excitement can cause fear. Excitement can cause jealousy or joy or love. It can equally cause enthusiasm, eagerness. Excitement can give us focus. Excitement can give us drive. Excitement causes anticipation. And they're all emotions. Okay, so they all kind of lead back to excitement, or can come under the excitement umbrella. And the list goes on. We could keep going here. But emotional eating, or emotional not eating, as is also a thing, is a massive topic for us, and is why comfort eating is actually causing you and us discomfort. Because it's an emotionally charged reaction in an attempt to bring immediate excitement and pleasure, so we feel good. Now first, let me bring some context to the situation. There are two sides to this chocolate coin. And I'm sorry if you're thinking about chocolate coins now, but I'm recording this and it's a week before Christmas. And, you know, I know the chocolate coins are out there. They're going to be under the tree. They're going to be on the table. So there are two sides to the chocolate coin. Don't forget that. Overeating and being overweight causes discomfort. Punishing yourself then with deprivation, over-restriction, and self-loathing causes discomfort. So overeating causes discomfort, and deprivation causes discomfort. So there's two sides to the coin. You seek to change. Okay, let me retrace my steps there. What I want to say is, you seek to change your body by restriction. Okay, that's what we do. We seek to change our body by restriction in some shape or form. And you also place conditions on how much you love yourself when you do that. So you place conditions on your self-love whenever you act from a place of restriction on how much you'll love yourself. So for example, I will love myself when, okay? I will love myself when I am a certain amount of weight. Or I will love myself when I am in that size 12 dress, that size 14 dress, that medium t-shirt, those 32 jeans, whatever that is, all right? But in order to love your body, you have to love yourself. And you have to love yourself first. You have to love yourself now, because you're not your body. Okay? Big revelation there. You are not your body. You have a body. You live in it. It's that bag of skin. And you borrow it for your time on the planet. Then when it's time to go, you leave first, not your body. You. I like to think of as being a spirit or a soul inside a body. And if you don't know what I mean, then think of death. In and after death, your body remains for quite a period of time, but your spirit, your energy, whatever you want to call that, whatever you want to call yourself, you can pick your own name for it, it's gone. And when I say spirit, it's actually not a religious reference, okay? It's just in reference to your energy. And for me, that's what it is. It's energy. Again, going back to the radio, waves. And yes, this is woo-woo stuff. And yes, I go into it. And yes, I believe in this. And I believe that everything is energy. And you might be reacting to it now. Me, what I'm saying here, and I'm wanting to disagree. And disagree all you want, because I won't actually know. So I'm not becoming emotionally involved with your opinions. But when you're in your body and you're alive, you have energy. It's why they can hook you up the machine and tell if you're alive or dead. It's why you can be shocked with an electric charge to restart if you switch off. Being alive is being energy. You're being energy. You're not a human being. You're being human. You're not a human being something else. You are being human. Now, we generally comfort eat or not eat because we are seeking pleasure or trying to avoid pain. Human experience is all about the experience. We're wanting to experience something, and generally we're either trying to seek pleasure or avoid pain. Those experiences. We seek the pleasurable experiences and we avoid the pain, which is in essence the same thing. So what I would like to do is reduce it to that one thing, which is the avoidance of pain, because seeking pleasure is just the opposite of experiencing pain. It's in the same spectrum. It's just on the other end, because everything is connected. Now look, you might be completely aghast to learn that I'm not a doctor, all right, or a psychologist, and that might surprise you. I'm just a guy who listens, learns, observes, and thinks in these topics. And I've worked with lots and lots of people who've experienced everything that I've discussed. So what I say may resonate or it may not. But in my experience, emotional eating, which I regard as something that happens regularly, so it's not that craving for a Subway sandwich when you pass the shop. Emotional eating is as a result of some deep-rooted trauma at some point in your life. Generally, every time I spoke to somebody, it's come back to that. Whenever they're dealing with emotional eating, it's coming back to some form of trauma that they've experienced earlier on in their life. And again, of those that I spoke to, and that is the case, a lot of that trauma comes from childhood. Now, what that means is that the trauma that you've experienced, you've attached an emotion to it. You have an emotional attachment to a past incident or event, or lots of them. There could be several. So there's going to be two things at play there. The first one would be the incident or the event or the circumstance, the thing that happened. And the second then is the emotion that you attached to it at the time. And that means right away, because I've identified two things at play, that means there's two triggers that may cause you to emotionally eat. Now, we're not going to put everybody in a box here, okay? And I can't deal with everything, so I'm just going to deal with what I've talked about. And I want to be clear, like I said, emotional eating, it's not walking past Subway and smelling the bread, then going in for a foot long and a cookie. That is eating based on a cue provided by your senses. That is a conscious awareness. Okay, you're aware of the smell of food and then you're going to react to it. So it's a cue generally by the smell, or maybe it could be by the sound. I don't know. But emotional eating, okay, when we refer to emotional eating, is a subconscious decision or a non-decision as far as the subconscious mind is concerned, because it's a learned behavior. Habit is born from, like I said, for the most part, a trauma that someone has experienced in their life at some point. Now, I can't go into dealing with that trauma and offer you a solution on here right now, because there are endless levels of trauma, and one person's traumatic event might seem completely insignificant to another person's trauma. But it's equally as real, it's equally as relevant. And the trauma is always of a past event. And the emotion that you experience today could be based on a present event. But because our emotions, all right, emotions are deeply rooted, they can trigger a memory of that initial trauma. So it's like a flashback. It brings you back. So experiencing a fright when someone plays a prank on you, for example, could trigger a memory of a past event where you were frightened and send you into a protective state where you try to avoid the pain of that emotion by acting or behaving in a way that's going to replicate your response to that initial trauma. We self-protect. It's what we do as humans. The body self-protects. Even if you don't realize it, it's automatic. And because it's an automatic reaction, you have to learn how to react and respond differently to that emotion. Because, simply put, the trauma isn't real today. It's a memory. It's a coping mechanism. It was a coping mechanism back then, and it's a coping mechanism now for something. And today, as long as the incident isn't ongoing, i.e. you're still experiencing it physically, or it's imminent, because if it's imminent, then that's danger and that's different. Okay, so if it isn't immediate, then the trauma is based on fear and it's not real. And what is fear? Now, I'm going to probably do a full episode on fear, but generally speaking, if I could make it quite succinct for you, fear is something that we feel now in the present. So fear is something that we feel now in the present. It's a physical response, but it's about something that we believe could happen in the future, has happened in the past, and we think might happen again, i.e. in the future. So we're kind of future predicting something that we're afraid of that hasn't happened yet. And in those moments, it's difficult. Okay, and I don't want to pretend you can just switch off from that, because you can't. We can't. What we can do is take a breath. All right? What we can do is take a breath and we can ask a question. You know I love to ask questions. So what we can do is we can take a breath and we can ask a question. Is this real and happening now? So is it real and happening now? Is this real and happening now? Or is it something that I'm thinking about that could happen? If you can stop and ask yourself a question in those moments, ask yourself, is it real? Is it actually happening now? Or is it something that I'm thinking could happen? That's going to bring some context to where you're at. All right, that's going to tell you that it's actually not real, because it hasn't happened. It's not happening. We're predicting that it could happen. It might happen, but it's not real, because things are only real when they've happened. So that's future, not created yet. Hasn't happened. All we can focus on in those moments, at that time, is self-love. And it's taking care of ourselves by asking, are we okay? Is this okay? Is this real or is it imagined? That's self-love. That's taking care of yourself. Okay, looking out for yourself, but looking out for yourself on an emotional level by using our thought processes and our reason and our understanding. Now, to love your body, you have to love who you are. That primary being. You didn't come into the world like you are now in your body. I believe you come into the world perfect. And you actually remain perfect because the very essence of nature, when you look around you, is perfection. Everything is in harmony. The world is in harmony. We are just out of sync with it. Nature is perfection. You get billions of brain cells, miles upon miles of veins, liters upon liters of blood. All the energy in your body, enough to probably power a small city for several days, weeks, months, whatever. All of it physically working in perfect harmony. And when it feels out of harmony, or when we are feeling that we are sick or in a state of unease, which is commonly known as dis-ease, it's our body feeling and telling us that there's something happening here that's not right. And in order to love our body unconditionally, we have to love ourselves unconditionally. And unconditionally, without condition, well, that means you can't say, I loved the me when I was 21, or I will be happy when I'm in that dress or wearing those jeans, because you're placing a condition on it. Unconditionally means without condition. And guess when that is? It's now. Being present. Being present now. That there is emotional intelligence, emotional awareness, whatever you want to call it like that. And that is also the end of part one of the podcast. All right? Because that's quite a deep one, I guess. I hope you maybe listen to it again to get a grasp on what I'm talking about. So that's the end of part one of the podcast on emotional eating. The second part, which will be out next week, we're going to go a layer deeper, peel back another layer of the onion, because in order to change how we eat, if we are eating based on emotions, we have to just know more and then do things different. Simple as that, yeah? Just know more and do things different. Well, that's what I'm going to hopefully help you to do in the next episode. And in the meantime, I've actually created a free training. So it's a free training video around this. It's kind of like a bridge, I suppose, between the two podcasts. Because lots of people think that in order to move away from emotional eating, they need to change their mindset. But in this training, I'll be showing you why changing your mindset doesn't actually work. So if you want to get hold of that free training, I've actually dropped a link in the show notes attached to this episode. And just in case, for some reason, if whatever, that you go to the show notes and there's a link not working or you can't find it, send me a DM on Facebook or Instagram. Also email me, paul@volumefitness.co.uk, and just tell me you want that training on why changing your mindset doesn't work. For now, I'm going to catch you in the next episode.
Thanks for listening to the whole podcast. If you're someone who enjoys seeing other people grow, then please share this podcast with your friends and family. If you found help through my voice and message, then I'm sure that they will too. So please share it on social media, share it via text, WhatsApp, and your DMs. Be present, challenge your own beliefs, trust the process, take action, be the community. So please, for every episode I share with you, I'd love you to share that podcast directly with someone else. And if you have questions, I'm there to help too. You can email me questions to paul@volumefitness.co.uk. I might even use your question for a future episode. And lastly, I do have one more request. And you only have to do this once, by the way. I want to reach and help more people, and you can help me with that. So if you can, please leave my podcast a fantastic review on iTunes. That way we can both help others gain strength and belief, all from the inside out. Thanks for listening.